June 30th marks the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we'd like to celebrate this milestone with you. You're invited to an open house at the studio and office of Lutheran Public Radio beginning Tuesday afternoon at 4 on June the 30th. Food, friendship, and fun. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. We hope to see you here in Collinsville, Illinois on Tuesday, June the 30th. RSVP to Craig at issuesetc.org. As we've been reminding you, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of Issues Etc.'s return to the air, and we want to hear from our listeners. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? We know a lot of people were very happy when we came back on the air 1 year ago, and they were ready to tell us what Issues Etc. means to them. Now we want to hear it, and we have given you a way of answering that question. Just call our listener comment line, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. It's there for you 24 hours a day for your answer to the question, what does Issues Etc. mean to you? And if you want to toss something in there, a suggestion, a comment, a compliment, a criticism, that's fine and good. But we want to hear the answer to the question, what does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384. Joining us for the rest of this hour to talk about evangelism, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of an internet radio program called Table Talk and author of a recent article titled A Lutheran Theology of Evangelism, Some Theses. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. It's always great to be with you.
Thank you. Is it possible to care more about evangelism than the evangel?
I think that distinction right there is just precisely outlining the difference between a pastor and a church bureaucrat, or maybe a Christian and a church bureaucrat. For one of the Lord's Christians, the thing, the theological blood that beats through our heart is the evangel, the good news that Jesus lived and died on the cross for our sins, that he rose again for our justification, and that even now he stands before the Father, pleading our case on our behalf. This good news that everything that God has done, that he's done for us, this is what makes a Christian. If you start to care then more about spreading that news or getting that news out there, and you care about that more than the news itself, then I really think you've finally become a church bureaucrat, and what you're interested in is organizing people or aligning people to be busy about the news of telling the gospel, but you actually never get around to telling the gospel itself, to speaking the forgiveness of sins. So I think it's possible, and I think it's frequent, and I think it's tragic that you can make the task of evangelism more important than the gospel itself.
Is talking about evangelism, or talking about your program, or promoting your evangelism program, evangelism?
No. Here's a classic story. A friend of mine was telling me this story of a pastor who was preaching a chapel service at a Lutheran school, but half the kids were Buddhists. They were from, I don't know, Korea or something like this, and so half the kids there were unbelievers, and every sermon would be about how you got to go tell your friends about Jesus, when the kids themselves have never even heard of Jesus and don't even believe in him. This is the extreme case, and kind of this, hey, we got to go do evangelism full-blown in its nonsense, and you have all this talk about evangelism, and what it never actually gets done is the simple and clear declaration that, hey, Jesus should hate you, but he doesn't. He loves you instead, and so that's really a kind of the pitfall that we might fall into when we start talking about evangelism is that we forget the gospel itself, which is the chief point.
I'll never forget, this was about 5-6 years ago, the United Methodist Church, I believe, was having its summer convention like church bodies always do, and we were perusing some audio from that convention. I think the big thing that they were struggling with was some question over homosexuality, and we were listening to some of their conversation in their summer convention, and there were voices saying, we got to stop arguing about homosexuality and drop this subject because it's getting in the way of the church's mission. One guy even said, what would it be like if we stopped worrying about getting the message right and worried about getting the message out? What do you think when you hear stuff like that?
What a bunch of nonsense. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and this fellow, it was at the installation of a new preacher, and he was telling everybody there, the most important thing is that we tell everybody about Jesus. The most important thing in our lives is that we tell them that he died for their sins. And I was thinking to myself the whole time, well, if it's so important, then why don't you just take a moment to tell us that? But he never got around to it.
Okay, what do we need to know about the world? And I'm not talking here about the sinful world, but what do we need to know about the world in which we live and our part in its fallenness in order to rightly understand the evangelistic task?
Well, that's a fantastic question. But I think one of the places where we want to begin when we talk about the work of evangelism is this kind of anthropological question. What is the state of man and man's will in the world and in the church? You know, one of the most difficult things, I remember a conversation that you and I had, Todd, a couple of years ago, and I used the word conversion, and you, and we talked about it later, too. You talked about your distaste for that word conversion because it has it brings with it so much baggage, and I think that conversation is what got me thinking about what we mean when we talk about evangelism, because conversion for our Lutheran theologians who were writing for us Lutheran doctrine back in the 1580s means something totally different than what it means for most people today, and perhaps in two ways. Conversion, as taught by Luther, was the effect of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. That's it. The Holy Spirit comes with the means of the Word, with the means of the Gospel, and creates faith in the heart of a person. It's God's work alone. What conversion means today is you just take out God's Word and you add in man's will. So the two efficient causes of conversion today in the church is the Holy Spirit working secretly in the heart of man to kind of tickle the heart of man so that he feels some sort of emotion, and then the will of man to assent to the work of God, or even to do it, to receive Christ, to make a decision, to pray a prayer, to accept him as Lord and Savior, to come down the aisle. And this is a terrible thing. It's a terrible confusion to say that man's will has any part in conversion, that man's will is in any way active in conversion. And so we have to first understand, if we want to understand the work of God to take a person from being an unbeliever to a believer, that the will of man plays no part whatsoever. It is God's work alone to change a person's heart, to give them the gift of faith. And if we don't understand that about the world and about ourselves, then everything we say about evangelism will be geared towards man's will, and so will therefore steal all comfort from sinners. We'll think that we had some part of it, that we had something to do with it, that that this is part God's work and part my work that I'm a Christian, and we'll go plugging along with that delusion, which is dangerous to faith.
Can we have a complete and biblical understanding of evangelism if we leave out stuff like baptism?
No. Here's our task to get to a Lutheran theology of evangelism. If the Lutheran understanding of conversion is God's Word and the Holy Spirit, and the modern understanding of conversion is the Holy Spirit and man's will, to move from one to the other, what we have to do is completely obliterate the role of man's will and come so clearly to state that man's will has nothing to do with it. But the other thing we have to do is we have to assert very clearly and from the Scriptures the role that God's Word plays in evangelism. And when we say God's Word, what we're talking about is the Scriptures, we're talking about the Word preached, we're talking about the Word of God that's delivered in the sacraments, especially the promise of baptism, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I mean, that Word right there, that promise which God connects to baptism, is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to make Christians. And if you don't have that, if you don't have baptism, which is God's water and God's Word combined together, then you do not have, you can't say anything about evangelism.
Now, let's talk a little bit about repentance. It seems a good place to discuss that. The popular notion nowadays, all across denominational lines, and I've even heard many Lutherans make this statement, is, you know, people out there are lost in their sin. It's a lost world. These people are so lost, they don't need to hear any more about their sin. We just need to love them to Jesus. What's really going to convert these people if we go out and love them to Jesus? They don't need to have their sin pointed out to them or in any way condemned.
I guess that could be true, sort of. I mean, the Holy Spirit uses the law in all of its forms to convict us of our sinfulness. And so if someone has just been brought absolutely down to the bottom through the law in creation, then that maybe could be true. I mean, the example I'm thinking about is if you have someone, say an alcoholic who has hit bottom, and they realize that they are miserable, and they've come totally to the point of despair, and they know that it's their own most grievous fault, and so the law has done its work apart from anyone preaching to them. But I think generally the way we find people, the way we find unbelievers, is not sunk in despair because of their sin, but rather exalted in pride because of their goodness. I mean, you go and you ask the standard unbeliever if they're going to go to heaven, and they almost always say yes because they're a good person or whatever. Everybody's going to heaven. And for that, the first work of the Holy Spirit then is his alien work, the work of the law to convict the world of sin.
When we come back from this break, I want to talk a little bit more about evangelism with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. I invite your questions and your comments as well. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can also email questions to us right here in the studio. We'll get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's something we need to talk about before our conversation is over. Evangelism is popularly viewed nowadays as kind of the first thing that happens. But once the person has been brought to faith, once the person is say, regularly attending Sunday morning services, evangelism is over for that person. Now they become the evangelist, and as the evangelist, they should be the one out there sharing it. They don't so much need it themselves anymore. After all, that's kind of over and done with. Now they need to move on to moral progress, getting out there knocking doors. They don't really need the gospel so much anymore themselves. Do Christians need evangelism too? We'll be right back. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
What does Issues Etc. mean to you? Later this month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the return of Issues Etc., and we want to hear from you. Please leave your thoughts about this worldwide outreach on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8384. What does Issues Etc. mean to you? 618-223-8384.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Verna Hester, James Mackey, Mary Sheether, Sylvia McCorkle, Tim Francisco, Robert Berry, Roy, Richard and Gail Burkholder, Melissa Fall, and Kim Shalowski. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. This Tuesday afternoon, the 23rd of June, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're talking about evangelism. Brian is co-host of an internet radio program called Table Talk. Before we go on, tell us a little bit about it.
Hey, I was going to say thank you for what you guys have done for us. Is the wild success of Table Talk Radio, I think, is a result of Issues, Etc. We just got our fifth or sixth listener the other day, so we're glad about that. But, you know, what we do on the show is we play a bunch of theological games.
You just basically goof off, don't you?
That's right. Because that doesn't require any show prep, which is the key to the successful broadcast, I think. You were on to play Iron Preacher, and we had a preach-off, and you destroyed not only my sermon but my ego. That was a few months back, and we play Name That Theologian, Law and or Gospel, Google Theology. We got a bunch of different things where we're trying to teach and show discerning the distinction between law and gospel. So that's the idea. And you can listen to it at Table Talk Radio or on Pirate Christian Radio. I think we're on normally on Tuesdays right before your show. And we're also on in Denver, of all things. So that's great, Sunday afternoon.
You can find out more about Table Talk at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Issuesetc.org. Josh in Wisconsin sends this email, Brian. He says, I've heard some say that worship is a form of evangelism, or that evangelism can and does happen within a worship context. Is this a correct view?
I think, Todd, this is a tricky question, because most of the people who are trying to make their worship service into an evangelism event or something like that end up completely doing the opposite. So you get the seeker service, and what's the definition of having a seeker service? Well, the first is you have no law, you have no preaching of sin, therefore you have no gospel, no declaration of the work of Jesus, so you have no theology, and you dumb down the hymns and the sermon so that there's nothing actually challenging or coming from the Lord's Word, and you simply entertain people to keep them interested and wanting to come back for more entertainment. Now, so what they've done is they've taken the worship service and in the name of evangelism undone everything that proper evangelism really is. On the other hand, the proper worship of the church, which is nothing else than to hear the Lord's law and gospel, and to repent of sins, and to hear his absolving word, and to receive the gifts that he gives, especially the gift of the body and blood of Jesus, this ought to be understood as the proper evangelism work. Remember that not only the unbeliever, but the Christian has its damnable flesh hanging about its neck, and so the Christian always needs to hear the gospel just as well as the unbeliever does. And so a proper worship service in which faith is exercised in the promises of God is in the best way to be understood as evangelical.
Okay, then let's talk about evangelism training, because what most people dread so much about evangelism nowadays, I contend, is not so much talking about Jesus, but the training, the blasted training, the charts, the graphs, the little diagrams that show little triangles and squares and diamonds and circles and people running across the bridge of the cross and chasms. And if you read some of these books, the diagrams become positively labyrinthine. They are, you need to be an engineer with a thorough study of flow charts in order to understand a lot of it. And people say, if this is evangelism, it either scares me or I want nothing to do with it. What is proper evangelism training?
It's like some sort of secret society, you know, and you got to memorize all these different rules to get into it, and what a mess. No, proper evangelism has to it a very freeing simplicity, and we've really already talked about it. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin through the law, and he creates in the unbelieving heart of man faith through the word of the gospel. So that all evangelism training is the constant, ongoing meditation on the proper distinction between law and gospel. If you know the law, then, that is the Ten Commandments, and the fact that you, along with everyone else, have broken them, and you know the gospel, the Apostles' Creed, that Christ lived and died and rose again for us and for our salvation, that we might live with him forever. If you know that, then you know all that you need to know. It is the most blessedly simple thing in all of the world. And yet at the same time, this distinction between law and gospel is the highest and most difficult art, learned only, like Walther reminds us of Luther's statement, learned only by, or taught only by the Holy Spirit and the school of experience. so that we would, if we would properly distinguish between law and gospel, between sin and righteousness, between our failures and the Lord's forgiveness, that this takes a constant daily exercise in it, thinking of it, applying it to ourselves and our families and those around us, praying the catechism and this sort of thing. So there's a simplicity, but also a fantastic and deep richness in the two words that the Lord speaks to us, his word of law and his word of gospel.
Here's another evangelism buzzword. It's an E word. Effective. We're kind of given to believe that, you know, any old schmo can talk about Jesus and what he did for sinners. But if you really want to be effective, there are all sorts of other methods, new and old, that need to be employed. How do you respond?
This is the we had Bible class this morning. We were talking about this a little bit because I'm constantly telling my Bible class, if I get hit by a bus and die, and they call another pastor and he mentions the word consultant, then just tell them that I put it in my will that no pastor at Hope Lutheran Church was ever to hire for any reason a consultant to come into the church, because that's what they're always trying to do. They're trying to make you more efficient and effective, this kind of nonsense. And I think what that shows is a kind of a basic unbelief in the Lord's Word. I mean, the Lord has promised to work through His Word, but not how we want it to, not how we would demand of Him to work. The Holy Spirit works when and where it pleases Him. The Holy Spirit blows where it wills. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. And if we then begin to kind of become tired with the Holy Spirit's timetable and think that he's not working effective enough and try to start shaping things to be more effective, this is a terribly dangerous thing. The Holy Spirit works through means which are resistible. He comes in humility, not just Jesus in his flesh was in coming in humility, but the Holy Spirit in the Word and sacraments also comes in this kind of resistible humility. And so we know that that the gospel going forth is not going to be effective or efficient, at least in the way that we would try to measure these things. So this is a dangerous word. Yeah. What would the we were talking about this again this morning, to think about what the consultants would have said to Noah. You know, he preached 120 years, and he had a church of seven souls there, his wife and his three sons and his sons' wives, and no one ever came. So he calls the church guru consultant and says, "Hey, I've been preaching for 50 years, and only seven people are part of my church." And he would tell them, "Well, you need a better parking lot, and you need cushier seats, and hey, all this talk about wrath and flood and ark and judgment, you got to cut all that out. It's turning people off." So Noah could have had some sort of huge megachurch, and they would have all gone down with the flood. So this business of effectiveness and efficiency is just terrible, and we shouldn't find it in the church.
Finally, then, the late Dr. A.L. Berry stressed, keep the message straight, get the message out. Why is this order, this distinction, so very important when we talk about biblical evangelism?
If you do not have the straight message, then it does not matter if you get it out. You could have the most, the best organization to get some sort of message out, and if your message is something wrong, like, hey, all you got to do is ask Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved, then rather than saving people, you end up damning them or confirming their damnation. Really, rather than the saving of men's souls, you end up destroying men's souls. If you do not have the message straight, then it is not evangelism. It's damangelism or something like this. You're sending people to destruction rather than to salvation. So the very first thing we must know is this: the marvelous simplicity of the gospel, that Christ was in our place dying for our sins to save us, and that the Holy Spirit brings that saving word to us today in his word and in his sacraments. And if we don't have that straight, then everything we do in the name of evangelism actually is sending people to hell rather than heaven.
Pastor Brian Wilfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of an internet radio program called Table Talk, and author of a recent article titled A Lutheran Theology of Evangelism, Some Theses. You can read it tonight at our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. Brian, thank you.
It's always a pleasure, Todd. Take care.
In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is going to join us to talk about, well, the saddest hour of television I've seen in a long time last night. the highly anticipated, what is it, third episode of season five for John and Kate Plus Eight, this family that's raising its eight children on television. Turns out John and Kate are going to split up. They announced a separation, and then at the very end, it was announced on television that as of yesterday, one of them had filed for divorce. So we're going to talk about the separation and divorce of John and Kate Gosselin and what it means as we watch it happen on television and have, I guess now, since they said this has been brewing for a while, been watching it happen on television for a while. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. We'll talk about divorce, TV families. Dr. Peter Scare will join us after that in the second hour to discuss the birth of John the Baptist. We have the message, repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, his cross, his suffering, his death and resurrection for us. We can't keep it to ourselves. We don't talk about talking about it. We talk about Jesus and what he's done for us. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.